did is he took the check without signing it and put it in a deposit envelope, put it into the ATM, entered the amount, walked away. A few days later, lo and behold, it showed up in his account. The money was there. Anyway, finally, after enough time passed, he drew the money out of the account, wisely or not, and got a cashier's check for the $95,000 and change and put it into a safety deposit box. Same First Interstate Bank. You know how they work. The bank keeps a key, and you've got a key, right? Well, after that, the bank all of a sudden went, oops, what have we done? Actually, it took, as I understand it, the Federal Reserve Bank to determine that this was not a proper check. And the bank came back to him. Now, NBC said, what does he want? Patrick says he just wants lunch with a bank VP. And that would do it. He'd give the money back. But, see, we've got Patrick on the telephone right now. We found him in Kansas City. He's exiled in Kansas City. and so we're talking to him about whether he ought to give the money back or what he... And actually, he makes a case. The money is his. And if you would, again, legally, in other words, the money is yours, if not morally, Patrick, legally, in the best legalese you can muster, give us the best case once again for the new audience that this money legally may be yours.
In short, I've got it three different ways. Number one, the words non-negotiable don't mean anything on a check. Number two, if a bank does not tell you that the check was dishonored within 24 hours after they found out it was bad, then the money legally becomes yours. And then the third reason is called finality of payment. When a bank issues a cashier's check for the exact same amount is a deposit that they took in, the courts consider that end of story.
And so, technically, legally, you claim this money is yours.
Absolutely.
All right, here's a faxer. See what you say to this. While I'm very sympathetic to this situation, I'll bet you any judge would inevitably side with the bank since there is the clear admission that this really was not a legit check. Also, need I remind you, the bank has lawyers on staff. You'll have to pay big bucks for yours, Mike, up in Madison, Wisconsin. Now, I think his first point is probably not true. You're saying it was a legit check.
Correct. I think that a judge might take this opportunity to change that law.
Really?
I do. I think a judge, because, I mean, if the guy who wrote the law book himself, you know, he's got a footnote in that book that brought it to my attention that says this is a dangerous law. If people are, if you can write sample or non-negotiable on a check and it doesn't mean anything, then it's a dangerous law.
Well, then maybe there is a society in America, I believe, that fights junk mail. Have they contacted you?
No, I tried contacting the Direct Mail Association. If there is a society, or I would. I would truly like to know who they are, and I would contact them myself. All right, well, while we were on commercial,
yes,
I got a metaphor that I'd like to try out on you.
All right.
I don't know. Listen to this. You're driving your car faster than you think the law allows, but since it's midnight and no one's around, you think it's safe. Police pulls you over, throws you on the hood of the car, and tells you that you've not just earned yourself a ticket, but also a prison sentence. You're shocked to learn about a prison sentence, so you go read the law for yourself. But what you find is that the law actually allows you to speed in that district. What do you do? Do you pay the ticket?
No, you fight.
Okay.
I would fight. There, of course, is no such law.
No, there isn't. But what I'm saying is some people, that's exactly how I feel about my situation, because you're remember, in what I just said, you're driving the car faster than you think the law should allow.
Right.
You know, you think...
Oh, should allow. I see. Okay.
Right.
So
the law doesn't even conform to your own morality.
There is... you know the argument I like best? It is that the laws are used most times for the bank's benefit. And when occasionally the law works the other way around, even though it would be a technicality, I kind of admire you for standing up and saying, no, wait a minute here, the law's on my side. And so then if the law is wrong, change the law.
Right.
That is what
right.
you're saying, right?
Yes. You know, yeah, I'm close to wanting to actually adopt that stance exactly, because I really see the importance in doing that, because it's the law. Exactly. If the law is wrong, then let's change it. And if the law doesn't conform to my morality, then maybe I ought to really put my best foot forward to have it reversed.
And everybody should know, and you really mean this, huh, that if you win the money, if the money turns out to be
It all goes to charity. I mean, what kind of fool would I look like if I didn't give it to charity? You know, after saying this, of course I mean it.
Well, you could have that much in legal fees by the time this gets awarded to you. Has that occurred to you?
If I had that much in legal fees, I couldn't afford this. I couldn't do this. I would need support from people.
You did say you're an author, though, right?
I am. I wrote a book called Major in Success.
Might be the subject for a hell of a book.
It might be.
I mean, the battle. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Patrick Combs.
Hi, this is Troy. I'm calling from Fort Myers, Florida.
Yes, sir.
I'm a first-time caller. I have never, in all my years of listening to talk radio, felt my blood pump as hard as it is pumping right now, and I had to call. It's the middle of the night for me, and I'm in a car phone.
That's all right.
I am, without sounding boastful, but I am a 28-year-old self-made millionaire. I own a very large company that I'm sure most people are familiar with, and I'm not going to name it because I'm not here to plug my company.
All right.
I am completely repulsed by what I'm hearing. Not only the fact that you're encouraging it, but that he is actually buying into his own instant celebrity status. He is having so much fun with this and is trying so hard to exploit this for every bit he can get. It is just repulsive to me. The only people that I think are rallying around him and are saying, oh, great, go for it, you know, stick it to the big guy. He's thinking that the whole world believes, you know, stick it to the big guys and you'll always be the hero. And that's a bunch of crap. The only people that are telling him good job are the people who would steal the money anyway.
Yeah.
So those are not reputable people to be listening to.
All right. The only thing I would say, see if you can deal with my argument.
I'm going to try hard.
All right. I'm tired of getting the kind of check that he got. I'll bet you I get four or maybe five of them a week. You know, as I said, a little clear section where you think you've gotten a check and you're kind of excited and you rip it open. I would like to see that stop.
Well, but what does that have to do with the bank? He's punishing the bank because somebody mailed him junk mail?
Well, in other words, ultimately, he could prove his point. He says the law is on his side in that the words non-negotiable don't mean a damn thing. Now, if that's right, that means people are going to have to stop sending out that kind of junk mail.
Well, and maybe he has a point to make, but this is not like he set out on a mission. He has fallen into finding some way to rationalize what he's done.
Well, that could be.
And intelligent, intellectual individuals like yourself have given him two or three ideas and causes to fight for. And so now, a very insecure guy who thought he was going to get his butt thrown in jail has had a few guys say nice things, and now he's like, yeah, that's it. Now he's trying to plug his book. Now he wants people to call him on his internet site.
Well,
this is a 29-year-old who's never had anything in his life, and now has got his 15 minutes of fame, and he's playing it for all it's worth, and it's repulsive. And let me add one more thing.
All right.
As the owner of a big company with a lot of employees, I tell you what, this guy has screwed himself out of a job, because I don't know anybody who owns a company that would ever hire this guy. He's not showing any signs of leadership, any signs of common sense, or any signs of moral and ethics. He's holding a big guy hostage, which means what? It means one day, if he's ever had a bad experience, he's one of those guys who would slip and fall at work, and then claim workman's comp and wear a fake neck brace. This guy is a loser.
All right. Well, that's a pretty big attack.